Recently, I heard about a young lady who I have known since she was born, was raised in our church, and heavily involved in our music program, even spent a couple of summers of the wilds involved with that. And recently, I heard about a post that she put on Facebook. My Facebook spies are out there everywhere. And it said, "We are getting ready to go worship the Lord." And then after that, in parentheses, it said, "Loud." We're going to worship the Lord, and it's going to be loud. Now, what does that tell you about the kind of service she's going to? And I think, what has happened to our spiritual discernment? And unfortunately, there are times when people leave our church, and I know that things happen and people leave, and they go to a church somewhere, and I think, I mean, there are other good churches. I'm not saying that. And we, you know, if you're going to leave here, hallelujah, go to a good church, okay? Don't leave here and go to a liberal church. And they leave and they go to certain churches, and I know about those churches, and I think, where is the spiritual discernment? I tell you, folks, we're living in a day when we need people to have great spiritual discernment, to understand what's really going on spiritually and in the religious world. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We started this lesson last week. And boy, this lesson is so timely. It is so timely. And we look at verse 21, and he says, prove, and what's another word for that? Test. Test or prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So this is what we're covering. We saw, first of all, last week, the priority of testing. Now, why does he come and he said in verse 21, prove all things or test all things? What's the context? Do you remember? The verse before, he says what? Despise not prophesying. What's he saying? When someone stands to preach the word of God or teach the word of God, you need to take it seriously. You need to take the word of God seriously. You don't want to despise it or treat it as nothing. Now, there is a problem with that because, unfortunately, there are many people who are not teaching the truth of the word of God. Some do it out of ignorance. They just don't know any better. Some do it because they are wicked people. You say, how can that be? In 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul said, we are not as some who have corrupted the word of God. Now, if you're sitting there this morning and saying, Gary, I just don't believe that a preacher would get up and preach something that's not in the word of God, then you are living in la-la land. Because it is going on all over the place. And it's just, it is just rampant. Today, instead of Bible expositors and Bible teachers, we have entertainers and guys that are great at telling jokes. One thing I'm terrible at, it's a good thing I'm not a comedian. I can't tell jokes worth beans. And most of the things that are funny, I say by accident, not on purpose. What we've got today is we've got guys who are tainers, they are counselors, they are all of these things, but they're not preachers. They're not teaching the word of God. And when they do, the whole point is to make you feel better about yourself. Now, we want you to feel good about yourself, but only as you are like Christ and as God works in your life, that's when we should feel good about ourselves. And I'm not going to take time to talk about this self-esteem junk. Okay? What a crock. Now we've got all this focus on you got to feel good about yourself. Well, that's the problem. We're idiots and we feel good about it. You know, that's the whole problem. You know, well, you know, the good thing is you can't spell worth a lick, but I'm going to give you an A so you can feel good about yourself. Now that would have helped my grades when I was going through school because I can't spell worth a lick. Thank the Lord for spell checker. Isn't that a blessing? Now, you're wondering how I got spell checker from 1 Thessalonians 5, aren't you? Now, look. He says you need to test things. You need to prove them. There's the priority. Second, the process. The process. We've already defined the word for you. It is translated several different ways in your King James Version. It's translated discern. To prove or approve, to try, to examine. He said, look, you need to test everything spiritually. And again, let me say this to you. When I get up to speak, and you're not going to do this anyway, but you shouldn't say, well, Brother Gary said it, it must be true. Now, you probably never said that in your life. But when Pastor Jody gets up to speak, or even the guy who is almost a saint, Preacher Lashley, you know what? It doesn't matter who it is. It's preaching or teaching the Word of God. We're to test it. We're to prove it. We're to check it out. Now, we talked last week about how you're not supposed to check it out. We gave you three things. You don't check it out because of your emotions. Well, it makes me feel good. Well, hallelujah, so do drugs. That doesn't mean they're right. I guess they do. I don't know. Closest thing I've got to drugs is NyQuil, you know. I guess you drink enough of that, it make you feel good. I don't know. We don't do it by emotion. We don't do it by our intellect. Well, you know, it makes sense to me. And hallelujah, we don't do it by experience. You wouldn't believe the number of people I talk to about their salvation. And I know I'm saved. How? Well, one night I was laying in bed and all of a sudden. I mean, there's some crazy experiences out there. I tell you what, if I built my theology on my experiences, I would have a whacked out religion. I mean, it would be crazy. You'd be doing all kinds of things. So that's the negative part. Now let's look at the positive part. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy, just over a few pages there to the right. And verse 14. 2 Timothy 2:14. He says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God. By the way, that word approved, same word in 1 Thessalonians. That you pass the test. Approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Notice, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Look at the sickness here. You see that word in verse 17, the word canker? Now, all of you are Greek scholars. Here's the Greek word. Gangrena. Okay? Does that mean something to you? What does that sound like? Gangrene. Gangrenous. What is gangrene? It's an infection. These microorganisms get in there and start all causing all kinds of infection, and then there's no blood running to it. There's a problem with blood loss, and you just it will eat you up, and it'll destroy you. It'll kill you. I remember, I guess it's Mr. Ed's a big Civil War buff, but you watch these Civil War things, you read them, and often what are they doing? These guys get wounded. They're cutting their arms off. They're cutting their legs off. Why? Because gangrene has set in, and if they don't do it, if they don't cut it off, it's going to spread and it's going to kill them. And he said, look, you need to realize that there are people that are teaching things that are like gangrene spiritually, spiritual gangrene. And they're going to come in and they're going to eat you up and they're going to destroy you spiritually. Do you realize that, folks? That there are people who are teaching things and preaching things that if you listen to them, if you do them, they're going to destroy you. Now, he gives us an illustration. These two guys called Hymenaeus and Philetus, and they were saying the resurrection is past already, and because of that, what happened to some people? What's the next phrase? It says, and they overthrow the faith of some. Is it important who you listen to? Now, there were people listening to Hymenaeus and Philetus, and their faith was destroyed. You listen to the wrong people, it's going to destroy your faith. And by the way, if you listen to them and believe what they say, it's going to affect what you do. It's going to change your life. Did you realize if you listen to the wrong person and believe what they preach and teach, it will keep you from going to heaven? It'll keep you from getting saved. If you listen to certain people, it's going to keep you from a separated Christian life. There are people out there that are called libertines, and they preach, look, God chose to save you because he loves you. Okay? God is going to love you no matter what you do. So, do whatever you want to do because God's still going to love you. Now, if you were asleep and you just woke up, I'm not teaching that is true, okay? Some of you are going, whoopee, this is great. I've been longing to hear this for a long time. Okay? There's a huge flaw with that teaching. There are people today who are actually preaching that, okay? There's all kinds of junk out there, folks. And he said, if you listen to it, it's going to affect your faith. It's going to overthrow your faith. Now, what's the anecdote? Okay, if you have a disease, you want an anecdote, you want some medicine. What is it? Look in verse 15. What's the cure? What's the thing that's going to keep you from this gangrene? Here it is. Study. Now, what did he leave out there? Study what? Study the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what that means, that rightly dividing? It means to cut it straight. Study the word of God so that you can cut it straight, so you know what it means. Now, my analogy kind of breaks down here a little bit, but again, we go back to that guy with gangrene, and what did they have to do? They had to cut it off. They had to get rid of it. And folks, and we're going to see this more in this passage as we move along, what you need to do and I need to do every day of our lives is to be studying the Word of God so we understand it, so we can cut it straight. Now, he's writing to Paul, Timothy, and Timothy's a pastor. But this is written to all Christians too. Buddy Callahan, God wants you to study the Word of God so you can cut it straight. Buddy is an amazing guy. He finds more wackos in his work. I don't know where he finds all these people, but he finds them somehow, and he tells me about some of these conversations, and hallelujah, if Buddy didn't know the Word of God, he'd be more of a mess than he already is. Is it all right? Look, if you don't know the Word of God, if you're not ready to give an answer, they're going to take you down. And he said, you need to study the Word of God and so you will be approved, so you will pass the test. Okay? Now, let's move on here. I'll never make it through if I take it this slowly. Turn over one page. 2 Timothy, or maybe the same page, chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. And he says in verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Notice, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. Now, when did Paul write this? Almost 2,000 years ago. And he says, I want you to realize it's going to get worse and worse and worse. There are going to be more people who are deceived, and they're going to try to deceive other people. Okay? Now he says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now he says, look, Timothy, you need to continue in the things you learned. You learned the scriptures, which, by the way, is all you needed to get saved. And he said, you need to continue in those things because there are people who are going to try to deceive you. You better be careful. And then he finishes this passage with the well-known verses, and he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable. Now, I want to stop for just a minute. I made a visit this week, and the person kept going on and on about, oh, our pastor, he just always encourages us. Probably used that word 7 or 8 times. Now, to be honest with you, we don't want to beat you down all the time. But, you know, where does he start here? He said, the scripture is good for what? If you've got a Bible in front of you? Reproof. Is that positive or negative? It's negative. Reproof. How about the next word? For correction. All right, in fact, excuse me, for doctrine, which is positive, tells you what's right. Reproof says, hey, here's what's wrong. I skipped a word, sorry. For correction, tell you how to get right. For instruction, how to stay right. Look, he said, this book is here to give you the truth. And we just need to realize, folks, if there's a right, there must also be a wrong. We are living in such a crazy time. If you say anything bad about anybody, it's you're hateful. Isn't that a great Southern word? It's one of the first words I learned 30 years ago. She's hateful. Hateful. And it's a three-syllable word, hateful. You know, if you say it right. I haven't quite got it. But look, folks, there is a right and there is a wrong. And he says, look, you need to tell them what's right. People are going to try to deceive people, and you need to know what's right. And when you know what's right, then you got to say, look, if you're not doing this, then you're wrong. Now, here's how you get right, and here's how you stay right. And he said, the word of God will make you, the last verse there, it will, that the man of God may be perfect or mature, truly furnished unto all good works. This is what we need, folks. And I'm going to give you one more. Let's go real quickly. Chapter 4. And verse 1. Let me start at verse 3, actually. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts or desires shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Boy, much of what is being preached today is, they're fables. What's a fable? Listen, folks, it just ain't true, okay? All right? They are stories. It's not the truth. And what's the anecdote? Look at verse 2. I skipped it. It says, do what? Timothy, here's what you need to do, buddy. Do what? Tell them some nice little stories and some few jokes and have PowerPoint presentation. And I'm not opposed to PowerPoint if it's used the right way. But, you know, we're just... be real nice and sweet and let them go, right? What does he say? Preach the word. And he says, be instant in season. Preach it when you feel like it. Be instant out of season. Preach it when you don't feel like it. Timothy, what your people need is the word of God. And hallelujah, we're in 2015, 16, 17, somewhere in there. And you know what? I need that. That's what I need. It hasn't changed. In 2,000 years, it hasn't changed. You don't need something new and different. I don't need something new and different. Hallelujah. This is what I need. And this is what you need. And this is the thing that's going to keep us from being deceived. Hey, become a student of the Word of God. Become a student of the Word of God. If I were to go over the room and start right here with Larry and then Diane and Joe and Micah and Letitia and just say, look, Larry, let me ask you a question. Now, don't answer this. This is, are you a student of the Word of God? You say, well, I take it to church on Sundays. That doesn't qualify, okay? Are you a student of the Word of God? By the way, Miss Ball here just received her master's degree in something, education of some sort, I assume. And she said, I'm never going back to school again. And I have respect that you even did it now. I never, you know, I'm 55 and I haven't wanted to go to school for 30 years. So why don't you want to go back to school? Because it's work. It's hard. Now look, you will not be a well-grounded Christian if you don't put some effort into it and work at it and be a student. It's just not going to happen. And if you're not a student of the Word of God, you are going to be susceptible to every false teaching that comes down the pike. And you will not have spiritual discernment. And the Word of God describes it as somebody who's being tossed by the waves and by the wind. See that boat on the ocean? And every wave that comes along, it flings it up into the air. We were at last 2 weeks ago, we were in Florida and stayed at a place called Captiva. It's where the rich and the elite stay, you know. I had to mortgage my house to stay there for 4 days. But the nice thing about it was there was nobody on the beach. It was just us. But got Lily out there, and I don't know how much Lily weighs, maybe 30 pounds or something. But she is fearless, and they got these incredible swimmy things that go all around and everything, you know, and she cannot sink. It's impossible, you know. But those waves have come in, and boy, talk about getting tossed. And she decided she was going to boogie board. You know, here she is, she's three. And so Joe was holding one side, I was holding the other side, and these waves would come in, and she would just go flying, and she was tossed by the waves, and that was funny. And she enjoyed it and thought it was great. But when that happens to us as believers, it's a serious matter. Serious matter. And so he says, look, you need to preach the word of God. Now I want you to turn to one more passage here, Acts chapter 4 or 17. Acts chapter 17. And here's what we need to be doing as believers. And this is a riot to me. Acts 17, verse 10. See if you catch it when we read it. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And let me stop, okay? Here's new church. Here's Paul and Silas. If you were to rate Paul as a preacher, 0 to 10, 10 being stupid and dumb, 10 being brilliant and a great preacher, what would you rate him, you think? 15, there you go, yeah. I mean, you know, of the preachers, I mean, this guy wrote 13 books of the New Testament under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, started all these churches, great pioneer missionary. Now, look at what it says in the next verse. This is the guy that's preaching. Now notice, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Now, why is that funny? I don't know, funny, ironic. Let me read the rest of the verse. In that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and what did they do? They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now let me ask a question. The Apostle Paul showed up at our church to preach, and he said something. Would you be concerned if it was true or not? Well, I'm a little concerned because the Apostle Paul died 2,000 years ago. So, look what he's saying. He's saying, I came and I preached to you, and you folks said, you know what? Paul, we're not going to believe it unless it's in the word of God. And you notice, he said, you folks in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. What's the book we're studying? Thessalonians. See, what's he saying about the people of Thessalonica? They didn't do that. And now he writes the book of 1 Thessalonians, and what does he tell them? You guys need to prove the prophets. You need to check it out. You need to test everything, and you do it by the word of God. All right, I'll never make it, but I'm going to get started on the last point. All right, now what do you do? Back to 1 Thessalonians. Maybe I can cut some corners and make it here. Right, what's the purpose of this whole thing? Why should we test the prophets? Why should we test and make sure that they're saying what they ought to say, that it lines up with the word of God? So we can go around and say, I just want you to know that I'm right, that I have all the answers, that I am the most educated man, that I am a Bible student. You know, is that the reason? So we can be proud? Yes, you old peons, you know, old Hubbard, he doesn't know the things that I know because I'm a Bible student, because I study the word, right? Is that the reason? What are we supposed to do? Here it is, two more points here. It says, you do this, why? So you can hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast that which is good. That to embrace wholeheartedly, to hold on to firmly retain it, to cling to it so nobody can take it away. Come here, Mike. Mike's my Opti lesson man. Hold on to my day timer. All right. Now, he is trying to pull the truth away from me. Okay? Now, what is my job? Hold fast. Hold fast to truth. Don't let them take it. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. Be strong. I could take you if I wanted to, but no. Thank you. Now, listen to Martin Luther. Martin Luther was standing before Emperor Charles V, and I, I've got written here, boy, I have to struggle with dates this week. I've got 1951. It was probably 1591. And they were going to kill him if he didn't recant. And listen to what he said. Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Holy Scriptures or by evident reason, for I can neither believe the Pope nor the councils alone, as it is clear they have erred repeatedly and contradicted themselves, I consider myself convicted by the testimony of Holy Scripture, which is my basis. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Thus, I cannot and will not recant, because acting against one's conscience is neither safe nor sound. God help me. Amen. Wow. Preacher Lashley used to say that you need to have a backbone like a what? Remember that? Cross tie, if you've been around much. Man, that's the kind of thing we need. In 2 Timothy 1:13, he says, hold fast the form of sound words. Boy, do we need it today. Stop for a moment and think about the news over the last month. Started out with the great Olympian, the man who has great courage and is a hero. Now, by the way, I got to quit doing this, because it's every morning when I get up, typically I look at Yahoo just to see what's going on, see if the Dodgers won or not, important stuff. I need to go to Fox News or something else. Every day it seems like there's something about transgender. Some 17-year-old kid or some whatever, whatever. Hey, look, if you're not grounded in the truth of the Word of God, the Supreme Court has done us another favor, obviously, with the ruling on gay marriage and all that stuff. And by the way, if you speak out against it, you are hateful. That is hate speech. What an illustration. I wish I'd written it down. This morning I jumped on Yahoo and it said there's a couple, and they had a company, I think they did flowers and different things for catering and for weddings and stuff, and two guys came to them and they refused to do it, and they have shut down. They're buying 1,000 billboards, putting them across America, and here's what it says. This is hateful. It's terrible. One man plus one woman, marriage, God's, and then they said something about God says please do this. And you know what the headline was? 1,000, or hate 1,000 signs. What was hateful about that? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? One man, one woman? Oh, that's hate speech. You're not loving. That's just the truth. It's just what the Word of God says. There's a big abortion thing going on right now. Look, folks, you better hold fast to the truth. You better do it. Once you discern what it is, you better hold fast, because it's under attack. And just to be honest with you, it's going to be under attack until one of two things happens. You die, or the Lord comes back. Okay, it's going to be that way. So you better learn to hold fast to the Word of God and to truth. But he doesn't stop with just that. Notice the second part. He says, hold fast to the truth, or that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, it's really interesting. In the original text, the word hold fast and the word abstain have the same root word. And that's that root word to hold on to. But this one has a preposition in front of it, which means off, away from. So here's what he's saying. When you study the Word of God and you discern what is right, here's what you do with the truth. You hold it fast. Here's what you do with error. You hold it as far away from you as you can. My job at the house, one of my jobs, is to empty the trash. And I'm doing very well. I just want you to know. Last night, I was sitting there doing something, and my wife said, the trash is full, and you know the next word, again. Like, it's not my fault. I didn't put it in there. I mean, and you would be so proud of me, because I got up immediately. Immediately. And I went and I emptied the trash, and my wife was so grateful for it. And what do you do with the trash when you carry it out? You put it right up by your nose and you smell it. Oh, boy, that's really good. You hold it. You hold it out here. When you're driving down the road and you smell a skunk, or you're walking and you smell a skunk, what do you do? Ooh, I want to go over and see what that smells like. I'd rather. No, you stay clear of it. It's like when somebody is sick. Bob Mann has been sick this week. And we had a staff meeting Thursday morning for about 3 hours, and I put the table there, and he sat down, and my chair was on wheels, hallelujah, and I just slid on down the end of the table, and I'm going to stay clear of that because I don't want to get sick. And boy, that's what he says we need to do, folks. Treat false teaching like the plague, okay? God never calls us as believers to get as close to false teaching as we can. Why? Because it kills. It brings death. It's like a plague. Galatians 5:9 says, a little leaven. Oh, my wife made some sourdough bread last night. Man, and I'm trying to lose weight. It's just not going to happen. And I was smelling that. You'll be so proud of me. I didn't eat a piece last night. And I'll have two rolls today for lunch. But I'll limit myself to two. I won't eat three. What happens? Put that little leaven in. It leavens the whole thing. How much leaven do you have to have? Just a little bit. That's right. If you see a loaf of bread looks like a roll, that's it. He said, look, folks, this is important because false teaching is like that slippery slope. When you stand at the top of a muddy hill, as long as you're standing on the flat, you're okay, aren't you? What happens when you take the first step over the slope? It's just a little step. By the way, that's one reason we try to keep our music standard high at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Is there other good music we could use? There is. But we don't want to start down the slope. Because once you step over that slope and you're on the incline and it's muddy and it's slick, what's going to happen? You're going down. And folks, we need to be careful as believers because if you start believing just a little bit, you just take one little step over that slope, you better watch out because you're going to start sliding. Now, I've got some other little things here I was going to give you. Let me just, the bell hasn't rung, so I'm going to fit. Ah. Smart, Alex. He was waiting for me to say that, you know. Look, four things very quickly. You want to be a discerning believer. Number one, you got to have a desire because it takes work to be discerning. Number two, you need to pray for discernment, James 1:5. You need to study the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15, and you need to have the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth. Hey, let me encourage you, folks. Look, I don't know where you are spiritually, but let me encourage you. Get in the book. You've been saved 50 years, get in the book. You've been saved two minutes, get in the book. We need to get in the Word of God and test everything by the Word of God. And if you'll do that and you'll hold fast to the truth and you'll shun the false teaching, hallelujah, you'll make it. You'll make it. If you don't, you're heading down the slope. All right? Lord, we thank you for your Word. Help us to love it, to read it, to meditate on it, to master it. God, help us to be lovers and students of the Word of God. Help us to test everything by the Word of God, that we might do what's right and have a solid faith built on the truth, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.